Right, so we are on the second to the last paragraph in Chinuch. And again, as I've mentioned multiple times, it's very hard to identify an exact place because the paragraphs are long, and therefore we're in the middle of the paragraph. And he was talking about the obligation of parents on the Chinuch of their kids is a lot, not what they say, but what they do, right? If parents would have seichel, they'd be very careful how they speak. To be able to train their kids appropriately. Parents have to daven all their life for their kids. It's not like once their kids get married, you can scratch them off the list. This is a ton of debate. You know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky had such an easier time because he knew every chazal. So it wasn't like he didn't even have to think like where he would find this thing. It says in Tana Debe Leo, Maisa B'Kayanecha Chayyar Shemayim. B'chom Maisa B'Atayim Shayyoysa Yoysa B'Seysar. Everything he did privately. V'Layasara Bonim Misha Achas. He had 10 children from one wife. Shisha Shcharim V'Ayim B'Nekevis. 6 boys, 4 girls. B'chol Yoyim B'Yayim B'Mispahol. Every day he davened the Mishtateyach. Mishtateyach. Prostrated himself, and he used to lick the dirt, with meaning he mamish cried and licked the dirt. That none of his 10 children should do an aveira or do anything inappropriate. Not 1 year, not a second year, not a third year. Ezra came and took up call yourself from bubble. And this Kayan was Zaycha to come up from bubble. He didn't die. He did so he got to see Kahanim Gedailim, a young Kahanim. He was able to see after the Beis HaMikdash was built 50 years of Kahanim Gedailim, not out of every Kayan God, Shimon HaTzadik, I don't know, was his child, but he saw Kahanim Gedailim, a young Kahanim, from his grandchildren. And then he passed on. All of us, the Vayimer, B'tach B'Hashem, B'lai in Hashem, V'asei Toiv, and do good, Shchoin Eretz, you'll be able to rest in the ground, Urei Amunah, and reap the reward of your trust in Hashem. That's what I think he's going to translate to that. Kasev B'mishnah Brura, Roi B'nachon L'chaladam, it is appropriate and proper for every person, the spawl b'chol yoyim b'yichud, to daven every day specifically. So yamush atayre v'piv, mizarei v'zere zarei. V'shiyya kol yoyitzi chalot of ovdi Hashem v'emes. All his descendants should be true servants of Hashem. So yimtzu chas v'shom psul b'zarei. They shouldn't be absurd as children. Atkan l'shaynoi. V'tfilas ahayrim, miskabelas b'yayser. Parents, their tefillah works better. It's accepted better. They should believe shalom. It's done 100% believe shalom. Parents daven for their children believe shalom. He's referring to the stipler. He used to advise to learn with children. Migil Sheva from the age of 7. I feel a chomish that musr. 5 minutes of musr. Kids should know from the age of 7, Sha'ilam heina hefker. The world's not hefker. You just can't do what you want. And people are mortal. And kids have to be taught there is reward and there's punishment. You know, the modern day, we don't want to scare kids. We don't want to tell them there's such a thing called Gehenim. Well, the disciple didn't agree. He felt kids should be aware of punishment. Learn in an easy safer. Even kids can understand. He gives you an example. And things like that. They will pick up. They will become attached with Yerushalayim. And they'll see benefit. When a child is a Yerushalayim, everything will work out wonderful. What?
End of
Chinuch. End of Chinuch, yeah. Not the end of Chinuch. Chinuch goes on.
Sahara.
Okay, so we're on Chavtesim and Aleph at the Mishnah. And like last week, I'm going to go past where I thought I was going to get to. This is, you know, I told you yesterday, it's hard to predict where I get to because when I prepare, I count on a certain amount of questions that occupy a certain amount of time. And when Dr. Schwab is not here for 2 days, and Avram Cohen is quiet, and Dr. Harris is quiet, so it's like 15 minutes saved on questions.
Don't
so,
put me in that league.
it just throws me off. Again, I don't mind. I don't mind many questions. I don't mind two questions. But, you know, I just, in my cheshbon of where I'm going to get to, not that it makes a difference. I can go ahead. I mean, I prepared it. I didn't go unprepared. Dr. Mishnah, Mapelas Vein Yedua Mahu, a woman that miscarries and doesn't know what it is, whether it's a male or a female. Teisha L'Zachar L'Nekeva, we've had this multiple times. She has to have the days of Tara of Zachar, the days of Tumah L'Nekeva, which means that she has 14 days of Tumah and only 26 days of Tara. Ein Yedua M'Vadhaya, what if she doesn't know if it was a baby or an air sac or a non-viable entity? Leish Mamav, meaning it was never viable. Teshev l'zachar l'mekev l'nida. She also has to take into account that she didn't have a baby. Therefore, she gets no yemei tara, 14 days of tumah, whether she bleeds or not. And then she doesn't get any yemei tara. She's a nida. She has to assume that she might be a nida. Now, again, it throws everything into suffix. As we go along, we'll see this clearer. But what happens is this woman has no idea where she is. She sees blood that day. Is she a nida? Is she a leida? If she's a nida, then 8 days later she becomes a zav, could become a shemer shayim and a zav. If it's leida, she's not susceptible to nida. So she waits at the end of 14 days. Now she sees blood day 15. If it was a leida, it's day tara. If it's not a leida, it's days of nida. If it's a zachar, it's days of tara. This is where zachar comes into play. And then she keeps on seeing different intervals and always has to consider, was it a baby? Was it a boy? Was it a girl? Am I Shemar Shem? Depending on whatever happened. So the calendar becomes a very complicated calendar. And the Gemara will talk here, how does a woman clear her calendar? Meaning, here she is in Suffolk. How many days of not seeing blood does she have that she clears her calendar and she starts for sure Nidus? That's what the Gemara is going to have to say. Because again, this woman's calendar becomes complicated. Am I nida? Then I only need 7 days. Am I a zub? I need 7 clean days. Right? Am I a lettuce? I don't need any days. But that's fine. I'll be machber. But then I see 8 days later. What am I now? If it was a nida then, now I'm a shemer shayim. If it was a later then, now I'm a nida. So if her calendar gets all confused and messed up, she's going to need somebody, a computer today, they have computer programs, it's Mamish Mabel al Orion, that you put in what you shittas you hold by. They do. Yeah. You keep the Chavazaj, you don't keep the Chavazaj, you keep Darzurua, you don't keep Darzurua. All the different shittas in Vestas, you put it in, and the computer spits out what days the woman has to separate from her husband. It's an amazing thing. You know, the computer knows the Arzurua and the Chavetas and the Taz and all the different shittas. All these things are there. Just pick in what your shittas, what you adhere by, and it spits it out. It's an amazing thing. But when I got married, it didn't exist. I don't think computers existed. And we did it by hand. We figured this out by hand. But again, the Sfeikas weren't that much. There was no later to worry about yes or no, because we don't give you Meitayar, and we don't treat a Nida and a Zav any different. So who cares what she is? She keeps shivin' a kiyim no matter what she does. So it doesn't make, there is no calendar that's as complicated as in the time of the Gemara. I will mention this, and I mentioned this only one time, I think, I hope I don't repeat it, because the Rambam's calendar is extremely more complicated. I will mention the Rambam sheet the one time, but every Gemara we're going to hit, it's going to be difficult to understand according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the way I've been teaching till now, and this is the way most Rishayim learn, and the Gemaras read much easier, is that a woman sees Zam, she's a Nida. For 7 days, she does not need 7 clean days. If she sees Zam on day 8, 9 and 10, she becomes a Zava and needs 7 clean days. If she doesn't see Zam for the next 11 days, I mean, she saw Dam, she was in need of her 7, then went through day 18 without any Dam. On day 19, she becomes a Nida. That's how we learned. What if she doesn't see Dam till day 26? So she became a Nida for 7 days. She didn't see any blood till day 26. Day 26 she becomes a Nida. It's the next Ria will start the cycle again. There's a 7 day and 11 day. Then nothing happens till the next time she sees Dam, and the cycle begins again. That means a woman has a monthly cycle, 7 and 11, and after 11, most women don't see on day 19. Let's say they see on day 29. So for those 11 days, she is 100% tahor. And if she sees, she starts the cycle of 7 and 11 all over again. Right? That's how most Rishonim learn. It makes life a lot simpler.
And again, in Ziva, it's the difference between 2 or 3. 1 or 2 days well, is one.
But yeah, exactly. A week of clean days.
He needs a week of clean
days. Clean days, not 7 days like Nida. Clean days, which
right.
is much harder.
Right.
Okay, now, here we go. The Rambam says, no. 7, she's a Nida. 11, she can become a Zava. Day 19, she starts her 7 days of Nidus again. Not that she's Usher, but during those 7 days, she can become a Nida. Day 26, she reverts back to days of Zivas. If she sees her period on day 28, she's not a Nida. She went through 7 days that could have been eligible for Nida. She's now back to the Zivas days for 11 days. So according to the Rambam, this woman alternates 7, 11, then the 7 start again, not pastoring her to her husband, but being susceptible to Nidus. After those 7 days, which end at day 25, she now starts again 11 days that she can't become a Nida. She can only become a Zava. From day 25 to day 36. On day 37, she can become a Nida again till day 44, 43. And then, so according to the Rambam, it doesn't depend on her next period starts the cycle all over again. Not necessarily. The 7 and 11 are a continuous thing. And therefore, she can only become a Nida between day 19 and 25. Once it's 26, not a Nida anymore. So imagine that woman, what kind of calendar she had to keep. Because if she saw day 26, she's not a Nida. She doesn't have to keep 7 days of Kumo because she's not in her 7 days. According to the Rambam, she can only become a Nida during days 19 to 25. So it makes for an extremely complicated calendar. And the Gemaras are very difficult to understand. So therefore, we will not learn the Rambam Shita, but I felt it was intellectually honest to mention that it exists. And then we'll move on. Yes?
He doesn't hold on the Beinanis or Yom HaChodesh or any of that kind of stuff?
Again, I said, oh, a lot of Gemaras will be very difficult. Didn't I say that? Maybe those will be, maybe those won't be. We'll see when we get there. But according to the Rambam, it's a 7-11 cycle constantly. According to everybody else, the 7-11 triggers when she sees her period. And if she doesn't see from day 18 to day 42, she becomes a Nida. She doesn't have to keep track, where am I holding in my calendar? There is no calendar past day 18. So she sees again and starts her 18-day calendar. Nobody passes this way. Nobody passes this. We will learn it. They don't. I'm just telling they don't. We will learn that there's things that they do, that certain things people do differently than others, but we're not holding those Gemaras yet. There's going to be differences in Menachem. Okay. So anyway, talk to Gemara. I'm Rabbi Shuv, did I do Rashi? No, I didn't. When you do a ma'am zochem lekeva, aber yadashi she blood, she knows it's a baby. The zochem lekeva, you may tire the zochar, you may tumah the lekeva. And you do a blood hayim lab, she doesn't know if it's a baby. Teisha the zochem lekeva and need the klum, she's a tirate nida, sheila, you may tire. She doesn't have days of tire, the shemba lav ladu. So she's a nida suffix. For all practical purposes, she acts like a nida. But we don't know for sure she's a nida. The Gemara Mefarish Lama Huska Zachar. The Gemara is going to say, why do we mention a boy? Hayavein Ladam Tayar. It's not going to make a difference. Yibishim Tumas Leidam Tani Nekeva. Right? We know she's getting 14 days of Tumah. She gets no days of Tara. So who cares if it's a boy? Interesting that Rashi says the Gemara Mefarish. And on Daf Chav Chesem and Aleph, Rashi brought the answer of the Gemara. He had the same problem there. Why did he mention Zachar? And then he told us the Gemara's answer. Here he doesn't tell us the Gemara's answer. He says, hold your horses, the Gemara will explain. Could be because here the Gemara is explaining in this Mishnah, there he was talking about there's still a blot and a half to go, so therefore he told you the answer there. Here he tells you to have patience. Dr. Gemara right. Amr Mishul Ben Levi. Mishul Ben Levi said, Amr Nar V'Pila, a woman went across a river, and she miscarried, and therefore she has no idea what came out of her body. The baby, unfortunately, or whoever was in that sack, drowned. It wasn't a living baby anyway, at best. But whatever it was, it's gone. It's down in the depths of the river. So what happens now? Mevia carbon, she can bring a carbon for Nechal. She can assume that there was a birth. She can bring the carbon, and it's not a suffix, Leda, because by suffix Leda, we bring the carbon, and we don't eat it. You bring the Chatasayif, and Chatasayif can be brought and not eat it, and the woman fulfills her obligation. But that's when it's a suffix. Here we're saying it's a Vadai Leda. She for sure had a baby. And we can eat the carbon. And remember, a Kayan eating that carbon, he's playing with the Vela, because that carbon was killed, by through Malika. And therefore would be Nevela if she's not Chayav.
How can we make that assumption?
That's why we're going to learn this Gemara. Wonderful. We go by most women who are pregnant. And most women give birth to a baby. Not necessarily a living baby, but a baby. I've
heard that before.
Listen, Dr. Harris, sorry. Be a doctor. Have patience. And you do have Vlad Haya. The Mishnah says, if you don't know, Teishul and Zachon the Cable, the Nida. The Mishnah says, take into account that it might not have been a baby. I might Teishul the Nida. What are we getting? Why does the Mishnah have an I say that it might not have been a baby? We just said, go by Rav. Most women who are pregnant give birth to a baby. And for the Gemara, Masnisim B'Shaloi Huzuku Ubra. The Mishnah is talking about nobody knew, there was no definitive, recognizable pregnancy. She wasn't, as far as we know, she wasn't visibly pregnant. Therefore, it's very possible that there was no pregnancy.
Early stages?
Obviously. She was pregnant. And a pregnant woman goes by Rav. The woman in our Mishnah, obviously she miscarried something. Something came out of her body. But we didn't know her to be pregnant, so the Rav can't kick in. There is no Rav who said she was pregnant with what we would call a pregnancy. It might have been nothing, a non-baby. Whereas once we know she's pregnant, she's pregnant, we assume it was a baby. Rashi. She doesn't know if it was a stillbirth in Ruach, Shari Nafalamayim. You're telling me it was a baby. Go by right. Answer is, there's a difference between Huxa Gobra and Huxa Gobra. Do we know she was pregnant? Does she know she was pregnant? We don't have to have Adam here, right? She knows she was pregnant, or she didn't know she was pregnant. Dr. Gemara Beit, Tashima. We have a Tashima. Behema Shiyata Simalea, a behema that went out to the field one morning pregnant. Ubari Kanis, and that day came back, and whatever she had is gone. She's empty. Now, we don't care. We're not thinking about Yemei Tayar or Yemei Tumah. But we have to know whether the next baby is a Bechor. Did she give birth to something that's a baby, and therefore a baby animal, and therefore the next one is not a Bechor? Or do we say it was not a baby, and therefore was a Bechor? The next one is a Bechor. Zok de Braisa, Habo Achrov, Bechor Misafik. The next baby is a Bechor Safik. Correct the Gemara Bamai. Where's the Rav? And by the way, we saw Yotza Samalea. That means we know she was pregnant. And we just said if one knows pregnancy, we assume birth of a baby. So why are we worried about the next baby being a Bechor? There's no suffix. She was pregnant. Rav Behemoth Vlad Ma'alyan Yodin. Most babies, animals that are pregnant, are carrying a fetus. Right? If that's the word for an animal that's in utero, I don't know. If it's called fetus also, I'm not sure. But whatever it's called, she had it. So why are we saying the next baby might not be a Bechor? Now, this happened, that Zokrashi, she had some Malayic choice and Muberis, she had some Afar. She went out to the swamp. I think Afar is a swamp, meaning she went out to graze somewhere. Now, this is a very important Rashi. It was the same day that she came back Rakanis. Now, at this point, we don't need this Rashi yet. But as the Gemara proceeds, the fact that it's the same day is a major part of this Gemara. That's why Rashi stresses it was the same day she went in the morning, came back in the evening, and there's no more pregnancy. Frank the Gemara, Vamai, Holochacha Roy Behemis, Tlad Mao Yoldim, and Vahai Pashatu. And this next baby is not a Bechor. It's called a Pashat, means a plain baby without the title Bechor. Amar Ravina. So Ravina said, because over here, the Raiv has a, and we call it a Reyesa, has something wrong with it. There's something, what word I would like to use for Reyesa, I don't know.
A defect.
What?
A defect.
A defect, thank you. What's the defect? Because Migla Meimar, Raiv Behemis Yoldus, Gavra Paita Bechayra. Give you a, I agree with you. Most animals give birth to a baby, to some animal. Umiyutan, however, there's a minority. Yoldus Davashena Paita Bechayra. There are some not. Okay, but we go by Raiv. However, B'chol HaYoldus Metanfais, every animal that gives birth the day before has a discharge of something Rashi calls it glera. I don't know what that is. What?
A womb discharge. Mucus plug.
Could be a mucus plug. I don't know. Vizu, HaYavalaitim, for the day before, we had no indication of an upcoming birth. Israel Aruba. It just is a blemish, is a defect in the rive. Because she was here, yes, that's why that day becomes important. She went out for 5 days, maybe she was tinfa. But if she came back, you left her in the morning, and comes back that same day, the tinfa would have happened yesterday. Yesterday she was in your barn. There was no tinfa. Leads us to believe that it wasn't a baby, because this tinfa only happens if it's a vlad. Frank the Gemara, he called Hayoldus Matanfais. If that's a fact, so then you know it's not a baby. Then it's not even a suffix. Because you just told me 100% of animals who give birth to a baby have this discharge the day before. This animal did not have the discharge the day before. So we know now it's not a baby. So then we shouldn't have a suffix the other way. He called Hayoldus Matanfais. Rive kicks in if you have a doubt. There's no doubt here. If all animals that give birth to a baby have a womb discharge the day before, she didn't, so we know for sure it's not a baby. That's also a majority. We have two majorities working against each other. One majority tells us that animals that are pregnant have a baby. One majority tells us that animals that are pregnant with a baby have a womb discharge. Each one is accompanied by a minority.
Not everyone has this discharge.
Exactly. So now it becomes one majority weakens the other majority. We can't say it's not a baby because most pregnant animals have babies. We can't say it is a baby because most pregnant animals with a baby have metanfais. So we are left in suffix. That's why the next animal is a bechor misuffix. That's why I stressed that Rashi was the same day. Because if it wasn't the same day that they came back, then metanfais would have meant nothing. She might have been metanif out in the field. So Rashi, bechor misuffix, shem ezeh hayivlad, babo achamene bechor. Maybe this, but the animal miscarried, was a baby, and the next one is not a bechor. Hashem ruach ipilu, might have been an air sac, but bo'achrub is a bechor. Now you, hukul savriku, the yoicha b'mumar lubaylam, it'll be eaten by mum to the owner. V'loy l'kayin, now let me explain, what happens with a bechor misafik? Now, there's two parts to a bechor misafik. It might be money, it's a money issue, but it's also an isser issue. If it's a bechor, you can't use it. If it's not a bechor, you can work with it. So the Isra we go l'chumra. Sabik b'char, don't dare work with it. But now he gets a mum. So now it's mutter. But to whom? A b'char belongs to the kayan. Even if it gets a mum, it belongs to the kayan. If it's not a b'char, it belongs to the Yisrael. That's a monetary question. Whoever gets it can eat it, because it's a b'char b'amum, and a b'char b'amum doesn't have kedusha as far as who can eat it. Even a guy can eat it. The question becomes, there's two parts here. There's the Isra part and the monetary part. So by Isra we go to Chumrah. If it doesn't have a mum, don't dare work with this animal. It might be a lav. But now, this animal develops a mum, this suffix b'char. So now it's mutter. Now it becomes, who's the owner? The Yisrael or the Kayan. So we have a rule of money, Hamayt Mechaveirai, Allah Faraya. So the Mavloy Lekayan, Necho Bemumer Lebailim, Beloy Lekayan, Hamayt Mechaveirai, Allah Faraya. Yes, Doctor.
That's what I was
going
to say. Right. When it comes to animals having a
Bechor,
it could be a female also?
No.
It has to be a male.
Correct.
No,
correct. That's whether this Bechor has Kedusha. But whether the next animal is a Bechor depends on a birth, not on what was born.
The first one could be a female.
First one could be a female, and the next one is not a Bechor. It's like people. A woman has a child, the next one's not a Bechor, regardless of whether the first one was a boy or a girl.
They don't bring it up over here.
No, it's not the Gaya. We're talking about the next one.
This womb discharge, how much before the birth does it
run? One day.
24 hours?
Again, one day. One calendar day.
Within
one day. She has a birth on Tuesday.
Did you just read
the
Rashi? Do you
read
the Rashi?
I read Rashi, 100%. That's where I got it from.
And we would have assumed that it would be findable.
Obviously. Again, since I don't know what I'm talking about, I'll say it was findable. And you can't prove me wrong, because I don't think anybody here knows what they're talking about either. Yes, Doctor.
Most likely there is a
That's what Dr. Bates suggested. The radiologist said the same thing.
I can't see you on x-rays.
Right. Pasha tu be yaycho b'loy mums, Dr. Ashi. V'tam tois, yay mechad, kaitim leida, t'ein glera, period. Now, Tysus has a kasha. Well, Tysus doesn't ask it here, but it's dealt with. And that is, we should paskin that the first one was not a Bechor. Well, it's not Nagah. Forget what I said. Nothing. Not Nagah. Masir Rabbi Yitzhak Bechanina. Just a Rabin Amar. When Rabin came, he said, now the quest that goes up to here. This is where I thought I was going to get to. But in Meretz Hashem, I was able to get further, so I'm going to go further. I'm prepared, which sometimes I'm not, but this time I am. And we're going to go further, but there's no questions on the test from the next piece of Gemara. We'll leave that for next week's test. Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Masir Rabbi Yitzhak Bechanina. Rabbi Yitzhak Bechanina had a question from a brisa that talked about Taya, a woman who's mixed up in her calendar, mistaken, and I don't get what his question was. Rabbi Yitzhak Bechanina, Ravin is telling us a story. Rabbi Yitzhak Bechanina lived in Eretz Yisrael. And we are in Babel. And again, I've mentioned this a number of times, that unfortunately in those days, or fortunately, they didn't have any means of communication except by word of mouth or letters. There was no any instant communication. And therefore, Tyrus Eretz Yisrael was brought to Babel by the travelers. And there were some, the travelers were Ravin, Rabdimi, Ula, Shmuel bar Yehuda. There were these travelers that went back and forth. And they are our source of Tyrus Eretz Yisrael. So Rabin comes to Babel, and he says over that in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina had a question on this Braisa, or in our Mishnah. And V'lo Yadana Mahi, and I don't understand this question. So now we're going to hear what his question was, and Rabin's going to tell us why he doesn't think it's a question. So, again, This is something that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Rabin is the communicator here in Bavel to let us know what happened in Eretz Yisrael. What? Mayi. V'loyedana mayi tshuvta. And I don't know what his question is. Zok Rashi, Taya. Mimashnisa, the mayi b'isha Taya. The Braisa is talking about a woman that's mistaken. So yada esli dasa. She doesn't know when she gave birth. And therefore, she's all mixed up. But the Braisa is going to give you a case that a woman is super mixed up. Not just mixed up, but mixed up with a capital M-I-X-E-D. The Tanya, we learned. Isha Shahaisa Malaya. A woman went out pregnant. Okay? We knew she was pregnant. Ubari Kanis, and she came back with no fetus, empty. Vevil of Anenu, and now that she comes back, she was gone. She was gone, let's say, a month, 2 months. Gone for a while. She comes in front of us. Now, this woman lost the baby. She lost the baby. She was pregnant. She had a baby. She lost the baby. We don't know when this baby was born, and we don't know whether the baby was a boy or a girl.
What?
Hukzikum Uberis. She was pregnant, yes. And now, when she comes back, she keeps... This is what happened. This is not a halacha. This is fact. She went for 3 weeks, 21 days, without seeing dam. Okay? So this woman arrives back in town, and before she asks any shilas, or maybe after she asks the shilas, we told her to wait. The next 3 weeks, no dam. Vasarish was... And then 10 weeks subsequently, meaning from week 4 through week 13, Echatame Bechatar. She sees blood on week 4. She doesn't see any blood on week 5. She sees blood on week 6. She doesn't see any blood on week 7. 8, yes. 9, no. 10, yes. 11, no. 12, yes. 13, no. 10 weeks in a row, she goes, one time a one tar. This is the story. This is not a halacha. This is a fact that happened. This woman came back, and over the next 13 weeks, the first 3 weeks, she was clean. Then she spent the next 10 weeks, one tame, one tar. Tame a whole week. She saw blood, we'll say from Sunday through Shabbos. And then the next week, nothing from Sunday to Shabbos. The next week, tame again, Sunday to Shabbos. So mishamesh is lar shleishim b'chamesh. The first time she can live with her husband is the night of the 35th day. She's the first 34 days back, she's ushered to her husband. Even though she didn't see for the first 21 days. And then she saw for 7, and then she didn't see for 7. After that second 7, that's the 35th day, the night of the 35th day, that's when she's allowed to have relationship with her husband. Again, we're going to explain this. This is obviously going to be explained. Umatbilin Isa Tishim V'chamesh Tfilas. And she has to go to the mikvah 95 times. Now, these Tanoim, Mishamay Meshaul, hold that Tfilah Bizmana Mitzvah, which means that a woman has a mitzvah to go as soon as she can. Not because she should be available for her husband, but for Taras, a woman has an obligation, a mitzvah, that as soon as she can go to the mikvah, she should go immediately. We paskin, tefillah bezman lav mitzvah, because we are machmer all kinds of chumras and we delay her going to the mikvah. If we were paskin tefillah bezman a mitzvah, we would be sending the woman to the mikvah multiple times. We paskin not that way. But b'shamim b'sil hold, in those days for sure, where they didn't have the chumra of 7 clean days, that as soon as a woman is eligible to go to the mikvah, even though it might not be matire, but it might be Mekar, she's going to go to the mikvah. So this woman is going 95 times, even though she can live with her husband one time. Night 35. After that, she's banned for the next 10 weeks. Next 8 weeks.
I get to 95.
Good. Oh, that's why we're going to have a whole piece of Gemara. That's why I warned people, I think I told you, Dr. Harris, that on this week we're going to learn one Amud, right? But now that I prepared it, I think we'll be able to learn more than one Amud. But the Gemara will go through all the math. Only 35 times to the mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda says no. She doesn't go to the mikvah until she's definitely tar. We don't send her to the mikvah because she might be tar. she has to treat herself tummy anyway. She's not mutter to her husband. She's not mutter for truma. So what are we sending her to the mitzvah? So Bishamay Bishol's answer is, Tchila b'sman mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to go to the mitzvah the right day. Even though it won't be mitzvah her.
She can't touch
truma. She's something tummy. But Yehuda says, don't send her to the mikvah till you're sure that she walks out and she has shivagai to her. He holds she's living on a lot mitzvah. There's no rush. By the way, this machlokes is negeya in those days, not today. But a woman can go to the mikvah the night of Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur. Right? We don't let women go to the mikvah Yom Kippur because it's rechitza on Yom Kippur, unnecessarily. But in those days, she was not a mitzvah. She had a mitzvah to go to the mikvah. So they went to the mikvah Yom Kippur. They went to the mikvah Yom Kippur. Because it's a mitzvah.
It overrides the
mitzvah. It's not inui when you're doing a mitzvah. Inui is only usher for pleasure. It's not pleasure, it's a mitzvah. Now, did she go to a shmaka mikvah that she can sit there for 10 minutes? No, but she went to the mikvah. But it's not as that. We wouldn't do that because we don't pass. It's not tefillah b'zman anymore by us. So going to Beis Shammai, 95 times she's titled. 95 times over a 91-day period. Because 13 weeks is 91 days. And it's going to be so.
Rabbi?
5 times.
Why didn't she go to
mikvah
after she...
Well, going to Beis Shammai, 95 times.
After
and no after nothing. We haven't gotten to any point yet. We know nothing.
Rabbi?
95 times, he didn't tell you when. It's not the last night he goes 95 times.
It was 95 days, so I don't know which.
Okay. It's not 95 days. It's sometimes 2 times a day.
And the number 95 is an exact number?
Exact number. And so is 35.
Sometimes.
And so is 1. That's the brisa.
Yes. Rabbi, if she would she say a bracha if she's suffolk tummy?
No.
Every time?
So the answer is no. Would she say a bracha? The answer is no. Because she might not become, it might not be a necessary tefillah. No, she would not. Rashi. Top Rashi. Isha Shiyatza Malaya, the Chazer Rekonis, the same as Mamaruba, at the end of a long time. And she has no idea when her pregnancy was ended. After she came here, 3 weeks tar mikol b'kol, completely. In Yom Baya, we count day one, the day she came. And it's really not 3 days of Tara, because we don't know what happened before she showed up. She shows up at 12 noon. We call it a day of Tara, but really, it might not have been a day of Tara completely. It might have been that she was tummy that morning. We don't know. The kul day yom that suffik tummy. The shemar rasa by yom kaidim shabasim lefenenu. We call it a day of Tara because she comes now and she's not seeing any blood anymore. But we don't know what happened in the morning. A v'lochi karlei tar. The kai mekana labo is going from now and on.
Because
she doesn't know anything. Amnesia. Nothing. Zero.
Where are we starting this?
Like, that's why we're learning. We haven't done a thing yet. It said that when we say she had 3 weeks of Tara now, the day she arrived is counted towards those 3 weeks, but we don't know for sure it was completely Tara. We're calling it a day that she didn't see blood. She might have seen blood that morning.
We have to delineate a day.
This is day one.
Okay.
We don't know why it's day one, because it might not have been day one, but we count it as day one.
Well, the day she came back?
Yes, the day she arrived. The Shabbos Lefenenu Bayayim. We think now that she arrived at daytime. And from when she came, she didn't see. So we count that as day one. Rashi's just pointing out that it might not be day one. Right. Vasare Shvuim Echatame Vechatar. Echatame Shasharaya Bechoyim, she saw every day. Vechatar Shakayam Shasharaya Tairim. The week of Tuma, she saw every single day of that week. The week of Tara, she saw no days that week. Meshamesh Eslar Shlash Bechamesh. Shuleo Saif Shvuah Chamishi. The night of the end of the fifth week. Uleo Knisas Shlash Bechamesh. That's the night as the 35th day is approaching. The Yetzias Yom Lamedalet, that's after 34 days. And we'll find out exactly why that is true. Meshuv Eina Meshameshes. And then she's banned from relationships to her husband for the next 10 weeks. The time of the Kulon, the Fires Lekaman. Later on, the Gemara will explain. The Gemara will also explain, why are we talking about 13 weeks? Why are we talking about 22 weeks? Why? What's the significance of 13 here? Matbilin, I said, Sadi. I know, but why does that make a difference? We'll see. That's the Gemara chance. Matbilin, I said, Sadi, hey, Trilas. Mishum, the Trilas is not a mitzvah. Going to the mitzvah at the right time is a mitzvah, even though it won't have any practical consequences. The Kulum of Fires to come on, the Gemara will explain all those 95 Trilas later on. Mishumachi, Mishumhani, Tzadi, Tzay Trilas, Naki Yud Gimushuam. Because it's the 13 weeks that create the 95 Trilas. We'll see as the weeks go beyond that, she won't need 95 Trilas anymore, that many Trilas. So that's why we talked about 13 weeks and 95 Trilas. The suffix man hatrilas, mashach yud shuayim, yud alav shuayim upalga. Because the suffix of when she should go to the mikvah is an 11 and a half week suffix. We don't know why yet. We have no idea what we're talking about. But Rashi says this number of 95 is triggered by the fact that for 11 and a half weeks she has no idea where she's holding. But, really, we could have stopped this at 11 and a half weeks. Would have been day 81. We wouldn't have had to go to day 95. But once we're in the middle of the 12th week, we go the whole 12th week, and that's a week of Tumah, so we want to end with Tara, so we said, and the next week was Tara also.
Not day 95, it's Yom 95.
What?
There's only 91 days.
Exactly. So but again, is this, no, no. The 95 Trilas, the Sveikis ended at day 81. But at 81, it's the middle of a week. So we continued that week. And once we continued that week, we said in the next week was fine. Longim Mephires to Kameh, the Gemara will explain that. Mesil Savri, Lamed Hei. Tamayim Mephires to Kaman. But Tavayu Srilu, Trilu Bismana Mitzvah. Mesil also agrees Trilu Bismana Mitzvah, but they have no doubts about 60 of those Trilas. They cut the Trilas from 95 to 35. Bachreina, and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, only has to go to the mikvah once. Kishatifstik legamri, when she's totally stopped, vizitar. The last play trilu is mana mitzvah. He doesn't hold that there's a mitzvah to go the right time. She goes, but it makes a practical difference. And if it doesn't make a practical difference, no reason for her to go to the mikvah. Okay. So I'm just going to do a little bit more of the Gemara, and then we will leave the rest for next week. Bishlai Mishwar Risha. Now we're going to go through the 13 weeks. The first week, she's clean. We can't have her have a relationship with her husband. She might have given birth to a boy. Today. It might have been that morning. So that day counts as day one. So she has to have 7 days of tumah. So we can't let her have a relationship with her husband. She might have given birth to a boy. Okay? That's week one. Shuasheni, any Yoledes, Amy Yoledes Nakevi. On the second week, we say, who knows, she might have given birth to a girl the day she arrived in the morning. We don't know when this birth took place. That takes care of 14 days. Shua Shlishi, day week three, Amy Aletis Nakeva Bezaifi. She might have had zibus before she gave birth. We mentioned this previously in the Masechta, that a woman who bled during pregnancy, the first time she bleeds, she's anida. If she bleeds after 7 days, she becomes a zaba. And then she needs 7 clean days after the days of Leda. After her days of Tumah of Leda, she needs 7 clean days to get rid of Zivas.
Zivas regios any time during the pregnancy?
Any time during the pregnancy.
3 days?
She saw 3 days. So now, we don't know when she gave birth. We don't know what she was before she gave birth. So we have to give her a third week of no blood in case she was a Zivas. So that's why the first 21 days of being clean haven't allowed her to do anything. Because first week was Yoledes Achar. Second week, Yoledes Nakeva. Third week, Ziva. Then the night after the third week, when she should be able to go to the mikvah, bam, she's blood.
can a Mehuberis herself, let's say a regular woman, can she get these Yemei Tahara during her pregnancy?
Yeah, 7 days of Tahara, yeah.
Okay. But here we assume she didn't.
We don't know.
Or the day before.
She didn't go to the mikveh this whole time, she's gone. We don't know what happened. We have no knowledge of what happened. We are totally in the black.
And there's no...
In the dark.
So we don't use employed roles at all, that more women are not Z-Zubbish?
I guess. What?
Is this such a thing?
I have no idea.
Did you ask her husband what happened?
He doesn't know. She was gone. She's just gone. Right. So Ella Shur Ravi, Avagav Dechazidam, to Shamish. But what happened in the fourth week? Why can't she live with her husband? She's seeing blood, but she's Nyamei Tyra. Because even if she had a baby, she's past 14 days. So now she's in her days of Tahara. So she had 7 clean days of Zivas. Now she's in the days of Tahara. She's within 41 days of her of when she came back. So she for sure is in days of Tahara. She was pregnant. That was Rabbi Yaisi Bachanina's question. Why doesn't she have Yemei Tahara? According to the Mandamin, it says that when we know she's pregnant, we know it was a birth, so why don't we give her Yemei Tahara on the week of the fourth week? So Rabin said, again, okay, let me say this again. This woman gave birth. She was definitely pregnant. So the first week we said it might have been a boy. The second week we say it might have been a girl. The third week we say she needs 17 days because of sight. Now she's in the fourth week. She's within 41 days of her birth. And therefore, she should be able to see blood and still be mutter to her husband.
Can I ask a question?
No, you can't, because the Gemara's going to give your answer.
No, I don't have it. It's not an answer.
Yes, it is. Let me just finish some more lines. Must be we say she might not have been pregnant. We said in the Gemara Damit Aleph that if she was visibly pregnant, we go by Roiv that she gave birth to a baby. Who says? So the Gemara El Milo Yidana My Chufta. So why did Rabbi not like the Kasha? Emer Achigal Edasa. You know why? Because who said she gave birth right before she came back? She might have given birth a month and a half ago. Meaning, you're asking a kasha of Yemei Tahara as if the birth happened the day she came. Maybe it happened 6 weeks before that. She's been gone for a long time. Therefore, there's no Yemei Tahara. I don't understand the question. Yaisi Bachanina asked and said, what happened to Yemei Tahara? And therefore, he wants to say, even we know a woman is pregnant, you can't assume that it was a baby. I don't understand this question. We don't know when this happened. It could have happened the day she came back. It could have happened 8 weeks before. She's been gone for a while. Therefore, he doesn't understand the question. That's what Rafaito said right away. We don't know when it happened. That's why I didn't want you to ask the question, because I thought that's what you were going to ask.
Now,
yes?
The Yemei Tahara, in this case, when does that begin? What day does that begin?
At day 15.
Okay, so that last week of the...
Yeah, it does not... Yeah, she's in Yemei Tahara, but it doesn't make a difference because she has to get rid of her zivah.
It sounds like it started after...
No, it doesn't. Yeah. So therefore, that was the kasher of Yaisi Bachanina asked, and that was the answer that he gave. Now we brought this in. Now once we brought this in, we got to know what happened from week 5 to 13, and we have to know what happened to 95. Now we have to say shot in the brisa. Till now, we brought this brisa to ask a question and give an answer. We asked the question, we gave an answer. Yes, doctor.
She didn't see. She's clean for 21 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
First 7 is because of a boy, a girl, and then she didn't see this.
She came back, she didn't see for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So what did she take the third week?
She might have been a Zava when she gave birth.
That overlaps.
Zava when she gave birth.
And that needs 7 clean days out of the Yemei Tumah, past the 14.
But those count as
Yemei Tahara. Correct. She can't see blood, but it counts as Yemei Tahara. We will stop here. I will review this tomorrow, Monday morning. as we proceed into the 35 and 95 and all these numbers.
So,
if you look ahead in Art Score, I'm sure he has a chart that fills up half a page. Yeah.
So day 22 here, which did see blood, that's called what?
We don't know.
Yom Shemer Yom Keneged Yom.
We don't know. Maybe it's Nida. If she gave birth, that's Tara.
Right.
If she didn't give birth, it's Nida. She hasn't seen it for 3 weeks.
Rabbi. Now the question is, I have carpal tunnel. I can barely write.
Mm-hmm.
Where's
Nida?